All right, let's get going here. We have a little bit of a different episode this time than in the past. It's our 50th episode, so I'm excited about that. We've got Josh Carolee here live from the Payments Ed conference in San Diego. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is fun. We got a room. It's standing room only here. You can look at that. You can hardly even see the back wall with the excitement that we've generated through the podcast recording here. So I do want to just kind of get right in. We don't have a ton of time. These folks have been eating lunch, and that's exciting for them. I'm a little hungry. So, Josh, like I said, this is our 50th dessert. Episode. It's also our first ever live recording, so we'll see how this goes. And we're recording live, like I said. I wanted to kind of get with you, though, and talk about for the audience and kind of level set about what do you see as like the promise of faster payments? Why do I spend my time talking about it? Why do you engage? What are the things in your mind that make it so interesting and give it that potential that makes it worth your time?
Yeah, thanks, Reed, and it's fun to be here, especially doing the first live one. It's kind of fun. I would say instant payments is one where reason why I think it's so important and so exciting is that it comes with a promise that we can potentially restart payments, right? If you're going to reinvent payments today, would it look like what it looks like today? Maybe not, right? A lot of the stuff we have has kind of evolved from things we've done in the past and what it can look like now. And so that's what gets me really excited about it. Yeah,
I mean, I think about it like the payments we have exist the way they are because they were built on the technology that existed at the time that they were developed, right? And we have obviously advanced a lot of things in the last 50 years when it comes to communication and telecommunications and
getting my food delivered to me in 20 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. Like everything else is real time. Yeah. So why shouldn't our payments be? I know we wanted to poll this audience, and it's gonna be hard to count this many people, but we were just curious. We're gonna be talking quite a bit about recurring payments and subscription payments. So who out there in our audience has some sort of subscription or recurring payment in their
personally?
Personal life?
Yeah.
Is there anybody who's lying? There's one person who wasn't listening.
Anyone who does, yeah.
Everybody, every hand went up, thousands of hands.
This is pretty massive.
You know, so, I mean, that's obviously a huge thing in our lives. A lot more of commerce has moved to subscription models. Obviously, Netflix is among those things that I would guess, if we'd asked the question, like, who has Netflix, they probably would have seen the same number of hands go up. So what do you think about that in terms of this new type of payment and setting it up for recurring? I know that's a big part of what you're working on.
To me, I feel like for instant payments and faster payments to become a thing, you need a real life, a use case that we can leverage. And the fact that everyone raised their hand shows me that everyone has the use case of real recurring payments. You may not be shopping recurring payments all the time, but everyone has experienced it. And so what a better way to try to let's figure out how to get instant payments to work for one use case that virtually every household in the U.S. uses.
Right. And the way I think about it in terms of where we're going with instant payments and faster payments, there's a lot of work that has to be done to coordinate all the different stakeholders involved, right? Mm-hmm. So you have obviously merchants who are going to be accepting payments, hopefully down, you know, not too far in the future, mm-hmm. but obviously consumers are also there, financial institutions, the networks, different technology companies who are providing different services to make it all come to life. And so the FPC, of course, we exist to help coordinate all the efforts of those folks and try to drive to that future of safe, easy to use, ubiquitous, faster payments. And the way I think about it is there are three different like buckets of activities that have to go on. We need to work on reach, so working to get more financial institutions connected to FedNow and connected to the RTP network so that the use of those networks is more robust. And then there's trust, making sure that mm-hmm. folks involved in using these new types of payments understand it and they can trust it so they don't feel like they're going to be defrauded or lose their money. And also from a business perspective, feel that trust aspect of like knowing what you're getting into, what is it going to cost me to do this? What am I going to have to pay for the transactions like I do in other types of payments? And what am I committing to as a financial institution in terms of 24/7 when I'm used mm-hmm. to banking hours? Mm-hmm. So there's lots of different trust angles there. But then the third one, and I want to kind of hear you unpack a little bit, is on experience, right? So just because we've gotten the reach of these networks out to hopefully eventually all the financial institutions so you can connect all these DDAs, that doesn't mean you have a fully fleshed out experience for the different use cases that we'd be looking to enable. So how are you thinking about the experience aspect of it?
I personally feel like experience is key. I think experience is, trust is important. All that isn't really important. But for this to become something, you also have to have a really powerful experience. And by powerful experience, I mean, it needs to be one that I think should be as consistent or ubiquitous as possible. But also one that you want to provide context during this experience, but at the same time, you don't want it to provide an experience that is confusing or deflective, or convinces someone otherwise from using this payment method. That shouldn't be the purpose of the experience. It should be a frictionless experience that gives the consumer the context they need to make sure they understand what's happening and they're able to move on with their life and hopefully their transaction. So I think experience is really key and really important aspect of it.
Yeah, and making it something, like you said, that's intuitive and simple and that people understand, so they aren't sort of scared away and back to whatever it was they were doing before.
Yeah, so because I always say I never want the payment to be the reason why someone doesn't sign up or doesn't continue on with my service. Like that's kind of my mantra, and I don't think it should be. You don't go onto a payment service but most people don't go to a service and try to buy something and just use their payment method, right? That's not very common. They go there because they're trying to purchase a service or a good. And in my case, I want them to get straight to the show they want to watch, they've been hearing about from their friends, or maybe they don't know what show they want to watch, but they want to go straight to exploring on our service and finding something that'll bring them joy. Like, that's where I want them to go to. And so I don't want the payment experience to interfere with that in any way, shape, or form. And I feel like instant payments needs to take that into account because it's just a reality. More commerce happens when you have a more frictionless experience in general.
Yeah, for sure. I used to work for Walmart. Most people probably know that. You know that for sure. Mm-hmm. And I used to always talk about, like, people don't go into a Walmart store thinking, I want to pay for something.
Yeah.
Right? They go in there thinking, I want to buy a TV or bananas or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the payment is just sort of that, like, least happy part of the experience, but hopefully you can make it as painless as possible. In your case, make it sort of disappear. Mm-hmm. All right. So the other one I mentioned, I talked a little bit about trust, and I think that's super important. It's obviously very important to me, leading this sort of cross-industry organization, to bring folks together and build those relationships among the different parties that are involved in something as massive as payments modernization for an entire country, the most complicated economy that's ever existed. So how are you thinking about that aspect of it, the sort of trust and relationship aspect of it?
So one of the things that first attracted me to the FPC back when it was first created was the fact that people from everywhere were coming. Like, this was one group that merchants actually had a pretty decent sized seat at the table, whereas some other groups, merchants don't, right, as an example, at all. And so the fact that all these people were coming together to work on faster payments in the U.S. and how can we make it work. And it is true, there's nothing fast about getting faster payments to work in the U.S. but I do think one thing that it does foster is the trust and being able to get everyone together and to talk about our issues together, right? There's a lot more that you can do if you're understanding, okay, the consumer agencies have this concern with consumers, merchants have this concern, banks have this concern, service providers have this concern. Like, we all come together and we can talk about those concerns. And oftentimes everyone's got legitimate concerns, right? And how else are you going to figure out what those are unless you all come together and talk? So I think that builds a lot of trust, being able to come together, and it's super important, right? I think even now today, that trust is one of the issues I think that we're still trying to overcome in the faster payments world, so that we can make it more reality and more consumer facing, even B2B facing out in the world, if we can solve that trust aspect.
Yeah, I think that's something that's been really fun for me in this experience has been seeing just how much there is that merchants and financial institutions and networks and consumer groups can agree on and work on together and like move the ball forward in meaningful ways, which is, you might think like there's so much in various parts of the payments ecosystem, in particular, so much like conflict and not a lot of collaboration all the time between these different groups. And the fact that we're sort of structured in a way that forces that is cool, but also I think it's sort of building that muscle memory for folks to like say, like, actually, there's some pretty good dudes at these different banks, or like maybe the banks are like, hey, that Netflix guy is okay.
That's actually one of the things I realized too, is like most of these people in this room, all of them I should say, but they're good people. Like, these are good people trying to do I do mean all, but they, generally speaking, I guess I don't know everyone's heart, but as I talk to everyone and interact with everyone, like, we're all good people. We're all trying to solve a problem. And we want this to become a reality. So how do we make it become a reality?
Right, right. All right. So as you know, you've been on the show before. We like to play a couple games. So okay. Are you ready to play buy or sell?
Okay, I'll try.
Okay, so I'm going to put some stuff out there for you. You can let me know if you agree and buy or disagree and sell, and then let us know why. So the first one, from your perspective, speed is the biggest thing that will come from faster payments such as RTP and FedNow.
Yes, so I'll buy with the caveat, like, what speed enables is more commerce, and that's really what comes as a result of it all in my mind.
Okay. Okay. So. I'm a sell on this one.
Huh.
Yeah, I think the data that's associated with these types of payments, where you have more ability to put things in the messaging and more ability to attach information to the payment message, is really going to be something that I think we haven't quite scratched into and figured
That's
out
fair.
How to leverage. But I think it could be like a real game changer.
That's fair.
And I think from a bank perspective, I mentioned this before, but going from bank hours to 24/7 is, I think, the biggest change for them operationally.
Right.
Not that that's a problem for Netflix or most merchants are operating 24/7 already.
Yeah. All right. That's a good point.
FedNow's launch is good for all who want to see instant payments grow and thrive.
Buy.
Big
100%.
Buy.
Big buy. 100%. Like, yeah. I don't see why it could be anything other than a sell.
Yeah, that one actually I had on here because I asked Jim Colasano from the Clearinghouse that question. he also agreed.
And he said, sell?
No.
Okay.
No, you don't listen?
Okay. I listen all the time.
All right, you're building a house right now, so let's say buy or sell that choice.
Don't ask me until I move in, then I can tell you. It's agonizing if anyone's gone through that experience, but I'm hoping for a... Well,
it'll be great.
I don't want to sell the house, I'm hoping to keep that thing.
It'll be great once you move in. More merchants need to get bought into instant payments and the potential this new technology has to transform the marketplace.
100% buy.
I don't wonder why I put that one in here.
I don't know, with some great merchants in the room. 100% buy. I think you need... the market isn't gonna, like, especially in the US, like, you look at where faster payments has grown in India and in Brazil, where it's exploding, it's because it's being regulated by the central bank and it's making it have happen. The US central bank does not believe in that kind of commerce, right? We believe in trying to make it as free market as possible. So if it's going to happen, it's going to happen because we as merchants demand it to happen, right? And try to make it to happen. So that's why I think it's really important.
All right, next one. Lack of reach to financial institutions is the single thing that's holding back the usefulness of the RTP network, and I guess in now FedNow as well.
Lack of reach. I'm willing to sell this one. I don't think that's the single thing that's holding back the usefulness of the RTP network.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, and just for a little bit of context, right now you can reach about 70% of the DDAs in the United States through the RTP network. FedNow is obviously short of that, but I would expect that they'll catch up relatively quickly. I think for me, it's more that experience, right? We haven't, and I think there's I don't want to blame us, but like, we as an ecosystem need to flesh out those experiences to bring those different use cases to life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing that's sort of, I think, the bigger hurdle right now.
I agree.
All right. The usage and adoption of instant payments will diminish the use of ACH.
This is like the most controversial one on your list right here. honestly, I don't know if I agree with that statement. So I think I mean, yes and no. It depends. ACH is evolving, right? They're same day ACH, which is being used more. ACH could create an instant version of their product if they wanted to. Maybe there's a chance of doing it, but I think the way that, like, for example, I don't take ACH today, so I'm not going to be reducing or increasing the amount of ACH that's going to be happening out there by taking instant payments, for example. Right. So if I think instant payments is going to address the population. There's a reason why most merchants, especially e-commerce merchants, don't take bank payments online. Right. And ACH hasn't been able to address those yet. And so instant payments would be in my mind, at least initially, will address a part of the market that ACH hasn't yet.
Yeah. And it's worth, I think, noting, like, RTP just hit 500 million transactions that they've processed.
Yep.
But the Notch's reported record,
like 20% growth
in
ACH.
So like
year over year.
I guess I see it as like more payments will happen. There'll be like more different things that we pay like more often for in various ways. Like I think earned wage access is the easiest example to think about. Like, so an hourly employees may be getting paid at the end of every shift. Mm-hmm. So instead of once every 2 weeks, right? So now you got 10 transactions over the course of 2 weeks instead of one, things like that. And maybe those would be instant, or maybe some of the pay would be instant. Another payroll, I think, you know, scheduled to every 2 week type, maybe ACH continues to make more sense.
Yeah. Okay. I wonder if man, maybe not. I'm wondering if like even on the check side, it's something that instant payments could eat away more at that than it would potentially even eat away at ACH.
Death to checks.
I know there's a lot of people out in the world that would love that to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know where my checkbook is, by the way. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either.
Okay.
But it'd be weird if I knew where your checkbook is.
Yeah, you don't know. It'd be a really weird read.
All right. You have won buy or sell. Congratulations.
Okay. What? I didn't even realize this was a winning or losing thing. Phew.
I think everyone's a winner. Okay. All right. Let's move to the lightning round.
Okay.
Okay. Something that needs to happen to secure instant payment flows.
A standardized authentication needs to happen. We need to have a standardized authentication flow needs to happen in order for there to be secure instant payments.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that actually goes, the standardized part goes back to the experience a little bit too, right? Mm-hmm. Like it has to be something that consumers are familiar with and trust. Mm-hmm. Look at me just throwing all these words out there. Okay, your favorite instrument to hear being practiced.
So those that don't know, my family, excluding myself, is very musical and I have 5 sons. I hear a lot of instruments in our house going all the time. So I would say any instrument I hear my kids playing, that's pretty good. But probably the most special is listening to my wife play her oboe. She does
that's cool.
I can listen to her all day doing that.
Wow, that's really cool. My kids also do some music. The piano used to be in the same room as my office at the house.
Oh,
yeah.
During COVID, that sounds great.
And thankfully with a piano, at least when you hit a key, it does what it's supposed to do. My daughter's taken up violin and she's gotten very good, but you know, the violin can sound a little off.
Yeah, again.
A little squeaky.
I am looking to get one of those pianos that they're really fancy where you can plug a headset in and so they could be really quiet when someone's playing on. We also got my son who plays the trumpet, one of these mutes that does the same thing that goes straight into their ears. He's also a fantastic trumpet player, but it's sometimes nice to...
Yeah, so hopefully you've got this figured out in the new house.
Yeah, we're trying to figure it out in the new house.
All right, something people often get wrong when it comes to instant payments.
I think what they get wrong is that they're scary and that there's a lot of potential fraud out there. I think they get that wrong.
Okay. Lots of musicians. I just said this. So you soundproof room in the new house?
Soundproof. Okay. So we'll go back to music. So we have, I know it's what everyone wants to talk about. We don't have a quote unquote soundproof room, but we did add extra insulation to what we're calling the music room and a couple other room. And we're going to use one of our closets as a recording room even too. So,
all right.
It'll be fun.
A myth about faster payments or instant payments that you'd like to dispel. And you can't say the same one you just answered.
Cause that's exactly what I would say. I can't say the same one.
No.
A myth that I would dispel. Can I not use the fraud excuse? The fraud myth is, I think, a big giant myth. I think it is.
You know, you're not going to win the game. If you do that.
Well, I might have to take the hit because I think it's the biggest myth. I think the fraud aspect of it, I know there's a lot of concern for it, and I understand that. I understand why there is. But in my mind, especially since I don't see faster payments happening without a really good authentication flow to initiate it, I think the fraud aspect is way different than what people are concerned with Zelle. Like this I don't think is a giant concern at all. I think fraud will actually be much significantly less, which if I remember right, I think the Clearinghouse even talked about when they first turned it on, they're like, we're surprised how little fraud there is happening at all. And it was pretty surprising to them. So
see, for me, I think the one that I think about here is there's this myth out there that there's only certain use cases.
Okay. That's
a good
one.
Payments are appropriate for. And from my perspective, really, it's like, no, this is a really good form of payment for just about anything. As long as it's legal. Put that caveat in there. You know, but I mean, I don't know your life.
No, but I agree with that. That's a good point. I should have read that. I just, because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking like, that's so irrelevant. Like, duh, it's good for everything. But I agree 100%. Like, that's how we should be thinking about it too. It should be used for any way that you want to pay. Because it shouldn't become a niche payment method.
Right.
Like, it should not become that. It's not what it's supposed to
be. Yeah, I agree. Final lightning round question.
We're going really fast. Lightning speed.
Something you would like to use the RTP network to do in your personal life.
Oh, in my personal life? I have like a long list. Like, I want to be able to pay my rent. I'm renting while we're building. I want to be able to pay my rent like instantaneously what I want to. I have to use PayPal today because I can't even use my own bank and do ACH that way. So what's up with that? I looked into it, it was not easy to find a solution. Being able to pay contractors while I'm building, kind of be able to take funds out that I want to use instantaneously and pay those out. Those are a few examples. Pay my kids' allowance instantaneously.
Really timely. Once your house is done, you're going to have no need for this.
No, that's true. Once the house is done, I don't need faster payments anymore. I'm done.
I would guess that this person you're renting from would accept a check.
They wanted to be paid electronically, ideally. And so I was like, okay, well, we can do it. But the fact is like, anyways, yeah. I can complain about that separately.
Okay. You've taken long enough on this answer, Josh. Any final thoughts for our guests here and for our audience out there in the ether?
I definitely, and I kind of talked about this already but a little bit, but I very much so believe still, even though I've been participating in the Fed Faster Payment Task Force and the FPC and with the Clearinghouse and with the Fed now and then talking with them, which they've both been phenomenal partners. They want to see this become a reality out there in the ecosystem. I've been involved in all that for well over half a decade now, I think, if I had enough the time. And even though, despite all that, I'm still bullish on faster payments. I really think it's going to become something. And I do think it takes like merchant involvement. It takes all the parties here involvement. It takes everyone wanting to make it a reality. And not just think of it as a like, okay, just tell me what to do, but let's sit down and figure out what could we use it for? What could it remedy? What could it help address out in the ecosystem? I think, the only way it's going to happen again, and this in our market is through for the free market to work, is we have to demand it and want it to make it happen as a reality. Something will come to fruition over as time goes on, but in my mind, there should never be a reason why money cannot move instantaneously for any use case whatsoever. And as a result, I firmly believe that just your economy will grow as a result of it. So.
Awesome. Hey, Josh, thanks again for joining the show. Thank you, our audience.
Good group.
It was a lot of fun.
Good group.